The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here, Jesus' disciples, they ask him what I consider a very rhetorical question. To ask Jesus, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Seems to me the king would be the greatest. Now, when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, we need to understand the two expressions. When the Bible speaks of the kingdom of God, it's telling us whose kingdom it is. So when the disciples was asking, who then is the kingdom, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, obviously it's God. Now, when the Bible speaks of the kingdom of heaven, it's indicating to us from where this kingdom comes from. Now, to understand why the disciples are asking such a rhetorical question, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You would have to look at the parallel passages in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 9. The disciples are contending with one another. They're having a dispute with one another. They're arguing about who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I suppose that Andrew was saying, "I'm the greatest because I was his first disciple." Perhaps Peter was saying to John, "No, I'm the greatest." But they were disputing among themselves. Then they asked Jesus the question, who then would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, I don't want you to miss this, because Jesus isn't talking about going to heaven. He is talking about the kingdom of heaven. So to illustrate this object lesson he wanted to teach his disciples, he called for a little child to come to him. And he set that child in the midst of them. And he gave them this principle that every one of us need to leave here with today. That unless you are converted and you become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. Whoever humbles themselves as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, for the last couple weeks, I've been talking to you about conversion. 2 weeks ago, I talked about when you are converted. Last week, I talked about converting the backslider. Now, understand, to be converted simply means to revert back or to turn back to the Lord. But I want to take it a step further today and also say that to be converted means to change something to something different, to be changed into something different. Now, many of you, you might look upon your lives, you may think about yourselves, and you might say, I need to change this, that, or the other in my life. But I'm telling you that you cannot change anything until you allow God to change you. Is that right? Many times people have tried to make changes in their lives by sheer willpower. And then they got disappointed when they failed. Or perhaps the change began to work, but it didn't last. And then they became discouraged all over again. But unless you are converted and you change your attitude, this is what Jesus is teaching his disciples. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. Unless you are converted, unless you turn, unless you are changed, and you must change your attitude, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying here? He is saying, unless you change, you will not experience that inward reality of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, he taught us that the kingdom of God is in us. When he began his public ministry, he preached in Galilee, repent, for the kingdom of God is upon you. So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, he's not talking about dying and going to heaven, but he's talking about that kingdom reality inside of you. And you will not experience the reality of the kingdom of God inside of you until you change your attitude. This is what he's telling his disciples. His disciples were followers of him. His disciples were believers of him. They believed in him. His disciples were not sinners. And he's saying to these believers, he's saying to his disciples, unless you are converted and you become like this little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't talking about going to heaven. He was talking about experiencing heaven here on earth. And there is a reality of the kingdom of heaven that every one of us can experience, but you won't experience it until you are converted. And to be converted means you're going to turn face or right about face like they do in the military. You got to make a 180-degree change. Come on. And then you begin to experience this inward reality. You see, children are not lifted up in pride. Children don't have haughty spirits. Children don't have an ambition, or I should say a worldly ambition. Children are not lusting for power. His disciples had a worldly ambition. They were lusting for power. They wanted to figure out which one of us is going to be the prime minister when we get to heaven. They totally missed it. This is why Jesus brought the little child to teach him a lesson. Set the child in the midst. And the little child had an attitude. The little child had a disposition, but it wasn't one of worldly ambition. It wasn't one of lust. It wasn't one of pride or even being haughty. It was just a humble, meek child. And Jesus is saying, until you change your feelings and your opinions, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Truth is, none of us have the power to change without the help of God. Nobody can change apart from God. Firsthand, I was dealing with someone just a few years ago, and they had a bad cigarette habit. I never condemned them. That's not what I'm called to do. But I did say sometimes, you smell like a tobacco barrel. Like I know what a tobacco barrel smell like. I didn't grow up here in North Carolina. This person said, I can stop when I'm ready to stop. They said, I got the power to stop when I'm ready to stop. And you know what? They stopped. I congratulated them. It's nice to have somebody come around you that don't smell like cigarettes, right? Stale cigarettes. Now, I'm not preaching against cigarettes. I don't preach against anything. I preach for something. You see, there's too many preachers preaching against stuff that they're not even living. My job is to proclaim the good news. Huh? Well, this person had enough willpower, and they actually stopped smoking until word came that there was a death of a family member, and they fell apart. The first thing they wanted to do was go back to smoking, and they did. I'm telling you, you cannot change apart from God. You can act like you got the power to do this, the power to do that. You can't do nothing without him. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the Ethiopian change the color of skin or the leopard its spots? How can you do good when you're only accustomed to doing evil, Jeremiah says. I was born black. I can't change being black. And a lot of black folks don't understand that. I remember back growing up, I remember I was in high school, we had folks trying to lighten their face up. Come on, how many remember that stuff called bleaching cream? These folks would actually lighten their face up, but little did they realize that the rest of them were still black as they ever were. You cannot change the color of your skin. The same way a leopard can't change his spots. How can you do good when you only are accustomed to doing evil? You can only change with the help of God. Is that right? Now, the thing we have to understand about changing, and I don't know about you, but I want to change. I am committed to change. In fact, that's the only thing constant in life, when you really think about it, it's change. Things are always changing. People are always changing. But here's what I like to say. To live is to grow, and to grow is to change. So don't get mad if somebody say, you're changing. Maybe you're growing. Come on. I would hate for somebody to see me this year that haven't seen me for 10 years and say, you ain't changed a bit. That means I haven't grown. Come on. That means I haven't earned these gray stripes. Hello, somebody. Proverbs says the beauty, says the glory of a young man is his strength. But the beauty of an old man is his gray hair. Don't I look beautiful? But you know, I didn't make my hair this color. And even if you have colored your hair, after a while, it's going to go back to the original color. Because you can't do nothing apart from God. You cannot change apart from God. Is that right? Now, what you need to understand is this. If you really want to make change in your life, you want to change your feelings, you want to change your opinions about yourself, that's where you need to begin. You first got to repent. Repentance precedes change. Let me say it again. Repentance precedes change. There is no change if you haven't repented. You're just fooling yourself. Just like the person says, I got the power to stop doing this, and they stopped. Until they received bad news. And then the nerves were frayed, and they had to go back to that habit. Why did they go back? They had never repented. They had never repented. Now, understand what repentance is. Repentance, the word is simply, it's metanoia, fancy word. The word simply means to change, to turn. It means to think differently. And Jesus was trying to get his disciples to think differently. It means to have afterthought. To afterthought means you're not going to do what you've been doing or continue along the same course you've been going. But the word also means a change of mind. You must change your mind if you want to experience real change in your life. And Jesus said, except you be converted, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you mean you won't enter the kingdom of heaven? Remember now, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You won't experience that. That's enter the kingdom. There isn't sadness in the kingdom. There isn't unrighteousness in the kingdom. There isn't turmoil and conflict in the kingdom. I'm talking about being at war with yourself, not in the kingdom. And you will not enter the kingdom of heaven except you repent, unless you're converted. Amen? So what do we really need to change our minds about? You know, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, in Acts chapter 3, remember there was a lame man that was seated at the gate beautiful. Peter and John, on their way to prayer one day, they ministered to this lame man. This man had never walked in his life. Born lame, never walked in his life. But Peter and John ministered to that man, and that man was healed in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, that man began walking, leaping, and praising God. And that man was walking, leaping, and praising God, and he attached himself to Peter and John because they were still on their way to the temple for the hour of prayer. And when those in Jerusalem saw that this lame man was walking, leaping, and praising God, many gathered at the temple. They gathered at Solomon's porch, and they were marveling over this miracle. They wanted to know, how could this have happened? They were in wonder and amazement. Then Peter began to preach to them. He preached Jesus to them, that Jesus died, and he rose again on the third day. Then he said to them in verse 19, he says, and repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. When the times of refreshings from the Lord will come upon you. This is what's happened when you really change your mind, you change your feelings and your opinions, first and foremost about yourself. The times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, they come upon you. Now, I know Peter was speaking prophetically in that scripture about the second coming of Jesus, but there's a principle there that when you repent, and you're converted, your sins are blotted out. And when your sins are blotted out, then the times of refreshing, they come from the presence of the Lord. And when the times of refreshment come from the presence of the Lord, all you feel is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You feel confident about who you are in God. You feel that you're safe and secure from all alarm. I want to feel the presence of the Lord. But if I'm disputing with somebody, contending, arguing, fighting, like his disciples were with one another, talking about who's going to be the greatest. They want to know, they were arguing about who's going to be number one when we get to the kingdom of heaven. Not realizing Jesus wasn't talking about establishing a kingdom here on this earth. So Jesus said, you must humble yourself like this little child. Now here's what the Word of God tells us about humility is so critical. James said that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you're lifted up in pride and can't nobody tell you nothing, you don't listen to nobody, you don't even listen to the Spirit when he speaks to you, The Bible says God resists you. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Then Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 5, but Peter went on to say, if you'll humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will exalt you. In fact, he said that he might exalt you in due season. We must learn to humble ourselves like little children. But no, you're grown. Can't nobody tell you nothing. But except you be converted, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven and experience those heavenly blessings. Except you be converted. Except you change. Now, there's two areas that I think we need to change our minds in, particularly. Number one, we need to change our minds about ourselves. We need to change our minds about ourselves and stop being conformed to the world we live in. Even though you're believers, you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, many of us, we still have mindsets like people in the world who've never accepted God at all. And you know, television will do that. It has that kind of influence. The media, social media, all these mediums have that kind of influence upon us. And anything you subjugate yourself to long enough, it will influence you. This is why you got to subjugate yourself to the Word of God so it can influence you. So we need to change our mind about ourselves. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ? Do you see yourself as a child of God? Do you see yourself as broke, busted, and disgusted? Do you see yourself as a person struggling in life? You're already struggling with lack, not having enough. How do you see yourself? You got to change your mind. You got to repent about yourself first. Change your mind about how you feel about yourself. I mean, God wants us to feel good about ourselves. Feel good in the Lord. Is that right? This is what Paul said to the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, the word beseech means to beg or to plead. And Paul was saying, I ain't too proud to beg. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is a dead sacrifice that has life. I know that don't make any sense, but the Bible teaches that we ought to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we still live. And Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, as a living dead sacrifice. And how many know dead men don't sin? How many know that dead men don't react? We react to a lot of stuff, and people get us, they get us out of our spiritual game. They get us all tripped up when you're supposed to be dead. So what does it matter because of what somebody said or what they may think of you? The question is, what do you think of yourself? How do you feel about yourself? And except you be converted, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So Paul says, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Why? Jesus died for your sins. He didn't have any of his own. He paid a price, my God, that he did not owe. We owed a price we could not pay. He said, it's only your reasonable service. Then he went on to say in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And then the times of refreshing shall come to you from the presence of the Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove not to me, but to yourself, what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. it wasn't good and acceptable and the perfect will of God for disciples of Jesus to be disputing with one another about their preeminence. Who's going to be the prime minister? The kingdom doesn't need another king. He is the king. So Jesus is saying, look at this little child. This is the attitude you got to have. The humility, the meekness. If you really want to enter God's blessings. Many of us, the devil ain't really our problem. We get in our own way. You allow your thinking, your feelings, and opinions to get all up in your way. And then you want to blame it on the devil. The devil's defeated. It's probably more the old man, the old nature, than the devil. So we got to change our minds about ourselves. Stop comparing ourselves to somebody else. And then we want to measure up, then we feel less than we ought to be feeling about ourselves. Let me tell you something. When God made you, every one of you snowflakes. As you've heard, every snowflake is uniquely different. And every one of your snowflakes, when God made you, he broke the mold. Can't nobody be like you. And if everybody knew about you, they wouldn't want to be like you. We must change our minds about ourselves. Then we must change our minds, number two, about God. About God. And be conformed to his image. Now that's what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, but we all, every one of us, no exceptions, but we are all with open faces. Ain't no veil over your face. You know what you need to change. You know what you need to address in your life. You don't need me to call it out. He says, but we all with an open face.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.